Let's roll into it.
Let's roll into it because people, today's September 9th, 2017. To my right, I got Fargini. On my left, I got Pedro. I am Alejandro. And let's talk about cars. Yo, hit it, Pedro. I was so close to grabbing my bottle of water and going like this.
That was your top, by the way.
Oh,
that was your bottle top.
All right, so I'll
be gonna happen, right?
I'll be super careful now. What do we have in today's episode, Pedro? Please.
So we have quite a few topics from the community today, but we're gonna warm it up with the very first question is, if you had to pick one brand to spend the rest of your life with, what would it be and why?
I don't like that I got attacked with this question a second before you turn on the camera.
This early in the morning?
And also too early in the morning.
By the way, before we start, can everyone turn their ringers off, please?
Hang on a second. Let me just check.
Okay. Okay.
Done. This is for those who are watching.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Farge is a very visual zinger guy.
I'm very linear.
Doesn't explain anything.
I have an old phone in my hand. I'm sorry, guys. Okay. So here we go. Why don't you start, Farge?
I'm sorry. I'm going to go Mercedes. They got anything you need, they got for you.
They even have a Project One now.
They even have a SUV, a minivan, a cargo, like
even
whatever.
The AMG
whatever.
GT yeah, looks whatever. Like an AMG GTR. Like,
yeah,
it's
whatever.
Incredible.
Like, you can't afford the AMG GTR grill. Go get a C-Class grill. Like, whatever it is. Like, it's all. Yeah.
So Mercedes.
Mercedes.
And they have a bright future.
Very, very bright.
I would say that that's a pretty safe one. That's a safe bet. I would have leaned towards Mercedes, and I kind of wish that I would have said that, but my gut was going to say...
Don't go with Ferrari.
They do have the FUV coming out, he would be able to survive. It would be nice.
It would fit all his needs.
What?
Gosh, Fargini.
Like, there's an SUV, there's a convertible, there's a coupe, there's
You know, the first one that popped in my mind was, and I can't believe that I'm saying this, is Lamborghini. Because the Urus is coming out.
That'll fit all your needs also.
But there's only like two styles of cars. There's like... A super car or an SUV.
You know what? Hang on a second. Remember that Lamborghini is part of VW Group, right? And let's remember that once Lamborghini experiences the Cayennes from Porsche, you know what they're going to be?
You mean net revenue goes up?
You know what they're going to say? Hey, let me take a look at that Panamera chassis you got there.
That's exactly what's going to happen.
Boom!
And any spare Panamera chassis we can use over here?
Hey, it's Vincenti.
But without knowing what the future holds for any of the companies, the one that I am 100% set on is Porsche.
I mean, you can't go wrong with Porsche.
It has everything that I could possibly need.
Yep. I was going to go McLaren, but I do think that... the car world and the car industry is completely changing from what it used to be to a parts bin type of industry.
Parts.
You know what I mean? So you're not going to be able to buy just from one company. It's going to be whatever company provides with the most technology to others. That's going to be the company you want to invest in. Therefore, I'm going to go with the not very surprising Rimac.
Ooh.
Yeah. Rimac is going to be on every single car.
You want to dip your toe in everyone's pool.
That's right. I'm that type of guy.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You got to think about it that way. Because they're going to be the ones responsible for a lot of what's happening in the future. And I don't, again, I understand that there's, you know, a future with McLaren. I understand there's a future with Porsche and all of those guys. I think the brightest future and the biggest way to win here would be in Rimac.
I'd say you bent the question a little bit to favor you. It was more along the lines of like which has the set of cars that are going to take care of you.
McLaren.
And you did this as a real estate investor. You're like, let me see what hasn't been gentrified yet. And let's talk about business, yo.
Hey guys, let's all get very serious about this and start talking in these voices.
Short them now.
You're like.
Fargini's still trying to short something.
I'm going to short something. Worst case scenario, I do my own shorts.
You really went with that one. Okay.
So McLaren.
McLaren for...
I'm surprised. I thought you were going Rolls.
No.
That would have been a good one.
I'd go McLaren because they can make cars as comfortable as a Rolls if they wanted to. don't know what they're going to come out with at some point. I'm sure at some point we're going to see a four-door sports car.
Okay. I love from McLaren. Rolls? I'm a big fan of McLaren.
From McLaren.
Yeah.
And if they made like a Panamera-like car, they would destroy because their suspension.
I hear you.
I love it.
I love McLaren. Wow. I'm wearing a McLaren polo. I'm a big supporter, but I think that you're making a terrible decision.
You do look like a golfer today, a professional golfer, doesn't he?
Listen, I'm actually going to a golf tournament today. That's why I'm trying. Yeah, that's why I'm trying to speed
right up. I'm looking at him like, you're very golfish.
I'm going to the Walker Cup. They're having it at the LA Country Club, which is never open to guests or anything. You have to be a member to go.
I feel like this motherfucker's going to go mini golfing. And he's just like playing it up. Are you sure?
I'm positive. The Walker Cup is like the Ryder Cup, which the Ryder Cup is the professional, like the U.S. versus the European teams. Like they play against each other. But this is for the top amateurs in the world. So it's...
I've seen those videos.
It's U.S. versus like the U.K. and Ireland.
Wow. That's fucking awesome. I didn't know that really went down like that in golf.
Yeah.
Pedro, this is what trend you need to start. Before they swing, they go four. They got to be like... Hit it, Pedro, or you got to get someone in the audience right before the guy hits it to go, hit it, Pedro.
And you pay them $20.
I'm not
going to
do that.
You
got to
start. Are you sure?
All right, guys, start that. Whoever golfs, start that.
I don't think that there's many in our community.
I was going to say, I haven't read a lot of comments from people where I go, that dude golfs.
No.
Not a lot of them.
Any golfing they do is a golf generation, what, four or five?
Golf. That's it.
The
MK7. Get it?
So let's hop into some topics of the community. But by the way, before we start, all of these topics come from salamandrin.com. Again, like we always tell you, this is a social community for you to talk about cars, talk about the things that we're doing on the channel, to share your thoughts on your favorite vehicles, to have fun, post videos, post pictures, post blog, just start a discussion and join the community. And there was one question that popped out first was, when is the Salamandrin app coming out? And I think we should address that now.
I like that you went for that one immediately. And this is totally not a planned plug. No, it's not. It's actually not. In 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Two weeks.
By the way, far shot.
2 weeks.
I saw a demo of it yesterday.
Yeah.
It is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, it is legit.
2 weeks. Finally, Fargini.
Finally, I'll be able to get on it.
There's not going to be any excuses for you to go to any other website.
It's very intuitive. With the site. So it's not like two different applications. They feel very much the same.
Can the insults come to me faster now through the app?
Yeah, they can. Okay. And you can get push notifications to be insulted with.
Are you being serious?
Absolutely.
Now I get to know when I'm being insulted?
Yes. Yep. Instant time. Real
two
time.
Weeks?
Real
two weeks?
Time. 2 weeks.
Let's go. Let's go.
So the first question that I want to talk about on salamandrin.com is from Pinfold102. And his question is, do you think that there's an oversaturation of certain cars that YouTubers take videos of, meaning that people are too familiar of them? For example, he's talking about like the modern Lamborghinis and the Audi R8, which kind of the same car. But he's seen so much coverage of them, and I kind of agree with him that we see on YouTube so many cars and car reviews of Lamborghinis and Audis. Like, do you think that that's having an impact on people's thoughts
what
of cars?
What do you think, Fargini?
I actually saw that question this morning driving here, and I was like, that's a very interesting question.
Oh, my God. Can you go on the website while you're driving?
No.
He didn't go on the website. I checked the email before I started driving.
Okay.
And by the way, you went on the website? And by the way, that is how I get on the website while I'm driving. No, I'm just kidding. So here's the thing. Tell me a poster of a car that everyone used to have in like the 80s. What car?
A Lamborghini, the Countach, right?
A Lamborghini. I think it's the modern day version of that.
Yeah,
today.
But what he's also addressing though with this is that because there's so many on YouTube and he sees so many online, when he sees it in person, he's just like, man, he looks past it.
What do you think?
I agree. It's the Lambo. I think it's the Aventador, like the Aventador and the Huracan, because there are so many of them and there's so much of it on there that when you see one now, you're like.
Yeah, but back when we had the posters on the wall, I felt like if I saw a Lamborghini in person, that it was like the coolest thing
ever. I know,
ever.
But
like,
you're seeing video and pictures, different ones, as opposed to like seeing the same one and you seeing it. I'm sorry, it's like TNA, right?
Yeah.
It's like, what has Instagram done to Playboy? Like Playboy has nothing that you want to see that you can't see on Instagram.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's why Playboy and all pornographic. Stuff like that is going out of business. Yeah. Like, you've seen way too much.
No.
Yeah.
So That's a whole...
Especially in real life.
I'm not even going to go down that... I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole because the Playboy changed their business model, then they changed it back again.
You go into yours. Yeah, yes.
So I'm not going to go into that.
What do you think?
I think yes. I think yes, it's caused a... it desensitizes you to the way that you feel about certain cars. I think Monterey Car Week is a great example. And the coverage that we saw, there were so many beautiful like Lamborghinis and McLarens and all of that that were being... shown off up there, but all you saw were like the ones that are never like you saw the Koenigseggs, you saw the Paganis in the people's videos because you rarely see them.
Correct.
And for good reasoning because you don't ever see them, but there's not that much coverage of those vehicles on YouTube. Also because there's a very limited supply of them and you know not many people just get their hands on them because they're stingy with their cars. It has done that. And there's so many Audis. There's so many Lamborghinis. They're not limited productions. You have access to more. That's exactly what I'm saying is it's easier for YouTubers. It's easier for the general public to see them and get their hands on. And they're flashy.
Yeah, and for rap videos, they're very easy to rent.
You can rent them anywhere.
It's an easy hit for content, right. You know?
But I think the question's more outside of, I think he's just using those as examples.
Right.
He's talking about, like, everything in general.
But we're talking about, but we think Lamborghini is that.
No, I understand. Yeah. I get your point. I understand
the desensitization, if that's how you would say it at all. It's just what I'm getting to is for YouTubers and the way that has been created is this is not an easy job when you're getting into like reviewing cars or you're needing to have something new every day. It's not.
No.
But if you need something that's going to get eyeballs for new people in the car community, a Lamborghini is a perfect one to go after because it's
they
flashy.
Really are.
I would like to add, how did we meet?
With my Aventador.
You just covered Aventador.
My Jizz Aventador.
Yeah. Rainbow Jizz Aventador.
Yeah.
But it even helped your career, would you not say? Your social media career?
Well, I just had my Instagram for fun with that car, and my Lamborghinis are the ones that blew up my Instagram. I didn't do shit. My Instagram, my Lamborghinis and dirty captions just did everything for me.
I don't think we're saying that this is a negative or this is bad.
No.
To this day, I'll look at a Lamborghini on anywhere I go.
I don't think it's that. I think to me, this question is much bigger than that. Yes, 100%. After looking at something online and you becoming familiar with it, it loses like that special mystery.
Yeah, yeah,
so the best example to this is simple. Remember back then, like probably 8 years ago, 10 years ago, even when Shmi started vlogging or making YouTube videos, whenever he got like a Lamborghini on it, like a Diablo, for example, mm-hmm. or whatever, it would be a big deal because how many videos of those cars were available online?
Right.
None.
There was.
And the weird thing was back in the day, manufacturers used to give their cars to car reviewers, right? I mean, they still do, but now it's gone. Like, who watches those videos anymore? Right. You used to watch, if anything, Top Gear started that, like, early 2000s with the big boy cars that you got on the show, and then you were like, holy shit, that's a $1 million car. That's ridiculous. Yeah. Or a $200,000 car.
And they're the only
car.
Ones that, like, get this.
Whoa, yeah, that's incredible. And then you got to see the car on the track and how fast it went. And that was fucking incredible. And those videos got, like, 8 million, 10 million views. Mm-hmm. Also, there was a lot less videos, right? So that was impressive. Then, fast forward to a little modern times when we all have more access to these cars. Everyone's got phones. You can film them, take pictures of them everywhere. Now you make another track video, and people are not going to the track video anymore because they've seen it. They've done that. Once you see a track video, it's not impressive anymore. Once you see a car going fast around the track and the new version of it, it's always going to be better and faster. I mean, it's the same fucking thing over and over again. So then it starts to lose like that appeal. And then it becomes about like, well, I saw it on the track, which is fucking awesome. But now what I want to do is I want to see how real like people deal with their cars. And it took a long time between reviews and people filming the cars. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like cars being normally used and appearing, being experienced on YouTube because people frowned upon it. People thought that it was bad that they were showing off their car on YouTube for a while.
Right.
And then social media became more accessible and then everyone just jumped on that bandwagon. Yeah. And this is why car videos on their own, car shows on their own will not be able to compete in this market anymore because we've all seen the cars. We all know what a fucking Ford F-150 can do. But can you show me a fun thing that you can do with it? Can you show me something I've never seen? And this is the other fucked up thing is once you've seen it once, twice, like the Uber thing,
the
CarMax thing, it looks it loses its appeal immediately.
Yeah,
that dude did it already. I've already seen that. Like, what are you gonna do now?
Yeah.
What's next?
Yeah.
And that's why Jake Paul and Logan Paul are so like are killing it in all of that, because they just keep escalating that shit. And I mean, at some point, it's got to stop, right? Yeah.
Well, they're doing it first, and then they're rolling it into something bigger beyond that.
Yeah. But at some point, you stop rolling those in. So it's all about how accessible the internet has made these cars to us that made lose how special they were and how mysterious. Because they lost that allure, that mystery that they had.
You know what the good analogy is? Like, you're in a new relationship. It's going for a while. And the first time she pees or poos in front of you, the mystery's gone.
Oh, my God. That's... That's absolutely not related to this at all whatsoever.
The mystery being gone. Yeah. The mystery. Yeah.
I don't know where to spin this because
No, there's no way of spending this. Okay. I honestly think that's a real thing. I think we're completely lost in everyone that watches YouTube videos now feels like I've been in a Huracan. I've been in that. Like, pretty much you've experienced every car.
I think,
do you agree?
Let's see what you can do in a Huracan.
It's like now
where you can go.
What about you experience. Doing that? Yeah.
Yeah. The ability to share has definitely taken an edge off of everything. You know, like
it's not impressive anymore to see things.
The access to phones, access to cameras, the ability to get them up quickly. Like, yeah, you're right. Like that's what's killing. It's not that it's YouTubers. It's just everybody in general has the ability to spread it worldwide. And
well, to me, it was the ability to be able to see what a dude that owned a supercar, like how his life would be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because to me, I thought that guy, whoever drove like even a Ferrari, he had to have like bodyguards everywhere he went. he was that rich, because you have no perception of what money's really like. So you have no perception, and that's a mystery. And you're thinking, wow, it must be incredible to have that life. And then you see all of these guys online. Anyone with a Huracan, with an Aventador, with a fucking Pagani, whatever it is. And you're like, oh, that's what being a supercar owner is like?
Right.
A fucking random Mexican dude or some fucking tool bag online, like whatever it is. Really? That's it? Yeah. I'm sorry. That's it. So this is why it's losing its appeal. And I think it's interesting for us because it makes us think outside of the box to entertain people and make them laugh.
Exactly. And we take that serious every day.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So there was a new car that was released this week. And I'm not very familiar with the car. And I asked you guys yesterday about it. And it was kind of weird. But TVR released the new Griffith.
Yeah.
I had no idea that this car was coming. I didn't understand why everyone was so hyped up and made it like a special release yesterday until I started getting into the details of the car. To me, and by the way, this question comes from Adam Lackenby, who is...
Adam and Goodwood. And I was going to say, you know that everyone in Goodwood was talking about this car. This is the car that everyone was like, you need to go see that. It's $100,000.
Yeah.
Was it actually?
This is the one.
Was that Goodwood?
The car wasn't.
No, the car was not, but the people from chatter. Yeah, everyone at every car company was fucking pumped about this car.
Yeah,
but this car is, like you guys were telling me yesterday, is the epitome of a driver's car, right? Like
there's no assist, there's no airbag.
He does have assist.
Oh, the new one?
This one does have electronic assist. It's just because the tires on it now are just so big that you need it. They're just upset that maybe they could have gone the hydraulic route rather than the electrical.
That's what everyone thought they were going to go that with all the hydraulic, steering. But they got electric steering input in there. They have ABS and all those systems.
Again, it's because you got a parts.
Not bad
because you got a parts bin buy the stuff.
Well, you honestly do, and they're actually putting the car together like that. It's a V10 naturally aspirated 5.0.
It's a Cosworth engine.
Yeah, it's a 5.0 liter V8 engine.
Nice
Cosworth. 480 horsepower. The car's supposed to weigh 1,250 kilos dry, which is pretty fucking light.
Yeah.
So think about, in terms of speed, a 570S in a manual.
Nice.
Naturally
aspirated. Raw.
But with the feeling of an ACR.
Yeah. So that's why it's supposed to be a driver's car.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. A British ACR.
The way I see this, to me, is more like a British Alfa Romeo, if Alfa Romeo was good. Like from back in the day.
The sports car? Like a sports car?
Yeah.
What I was reading about it, I got more of like a better Lotus. in a way, but
that too,
you know, with that, a manual, you know,
we're all saying the same thing and to whatever line. We feel familiar.
It's in the same lines.
Yeah, that's absolutely. So, the really incredible thing is the designer of the F1, McLaren F1, is the one who was involved in this. In 2013, really? TVR was sold to another dude.
Wow.
And this dude is the one who's bringing the Griffith back. And he's the one doing this. And I'm not entirely sure what the relationship is between the F1 designer and the owner of the company. I'm not sure. I don't think they're the same person, but they might be partners.
Got it.
But the F1 designer had to do with this car.
Got it.
And to me, I don't think the car outside looks amazing.
That's where I was going to take us next. It doesn't. Outside, the design doesn't feel special.
No.
If you look at old TVRs,
to me,
if you look at the previous TVRs with the like six light, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, the big setups.
When you look at that, you're like, what is it? Tell me what this is. And when you look at this, and it's kind of like, oh, another kit car-ish type of... Like,
well, because, you know, this falls into your problem with... Well, this falls into the previous subject that we were talking about. This falls into being desensitized from cars.
Yeah.
We've seen so much shit already.
Yeah.
So much that this is not impressive to us.
Yeah, exactly.
But if we would have like that, because those TVRs that we are like, oh, the six light and the big tail lights and all that shit. If you look at them today, they look like pure shit.
No, hold on. They look like pure shit, but they still look different. They look like, whoa, what is this?
Well, it still looks, I think it still looks different in those lines, just along the lines of like the modern whatever, but it's really hard to impress now. You need a fucking crazy design.
But to
now.
Me, if you're TVR, which is a legendary name, you have that street cred. You got to come out with something that goes that people go, ooh.
But I think they did with the driving experience. They focused that more.
Yeah, I can think see so. That. To me, this car feels like a LFA and a DB11 had a baby.
Yeah. Like you're right.
If you look at the back side,
look at the back.
It looks just like an LFA.
LFA-ish.
Yeah, and then the front just looks like the DB11.
I'm telling you, the front looks like those old Alphas. It looks like the old Alphas, like the 3Cs or I can't remember what they were called. That's why it looks like a British Alpha to me.
I'll just say that one. The looks don't tickle my
pickle.
Tickle my pickle.
I honestly really do like it. If they were selling it here in the US, I'd buy one at $100,000. If he drives the way everyone says, I drive it first though. Absolutely drive it first. But the hype on it, the hype behind it is real.
Yeah, the hype is real. The hype is real. There's a lot of big people behind it, and
I Schmee got one.
He did.
So you know it's going to be good.
But they don't start production on this car until the end of next year.
So Schmee's getting cars that are coming out in 7 years. I'm going to start doing that too.
He's lining up his garage like a stock portfolio.
You know what? He's a fucking planner,
he's
dude.
A visionary. Yeah.
Good for him.
He's a visionary.
And here I am, just like I go to the dealership show. I was like, I'll take this. And everyone's like, why do you buy that? I don't know. I don't know.
I have no idea.
No idea what I'm doing now. Shmi's all composed. I'm just like,
she's got
like,
a future chart.
I know. Wall, like. I got. Hey, it's I can't remember who was asking me what was the business plan for Salamandrin when I started. And I was like, business plan for Salamandrin. I started like saying dirty things on my Instagram. Then I started making videos saying stupid shit. And here we are today.
Still doing the same thing.
That's the Salamandrin business plan.
Still doing the same thing.
Shmi probably has a fucking chart. Everything is mapped out. What video's going to hit what? Pa, 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 what cars he's getting.
He's got a content
when he's
calendar.
Getting married, like everything. And again, here I am. Fuck.
So Freddy802 asked us what our thoughts on Aston going after Ferrari with the new Vanquish. Said that the Vanquish was disguised as a DB11 testing at the ring. What are your thoughts on that?
Who said that Aston was coming in to take Ferrari's spot a while ago? I remember some Mexican asshole who likes to be reminded he was right. Anyone?
Rodrigo is kind of a...
Hey!
I know, he knows a lot about cars, but I don't.
I saw this coming 7 miles away. The Aston Martin's completely lined up to take over Ferrari's spot. They are. They have that partnership with Mercedes. They're moving ahead at a fast pace. They're going electric with the other share cars that they're doing. They have it all mapped out.
Yeah.
They have it all mapped
they actually
out.
Have,
they're moving
plans,
forward.
Speaking of plans, they actually have a... Like a plan,
they do. Like, they do. This time, Ferrari's me and Aston Martin.
Is like here's the big problem though. Is Aston is actually lining up a set of elite customers with the Valkyrie, and I just hope that they don't get into that like hey, to buy these premier cars, you have to have a Valkyrie kind of thing, and then they turn it into the Ferrari kind of model. Like, I just hope that they don't go down that route if they're getting into the competition.
I don't think they will. There's no need for that. You can't play in that. You can't play that game anymore. You can't.
I know you can't.
It's impossible.
I see it differently. I see it as like, all right, you got an allocation for Valkyrie. And look at this new stuff that we have also. I think it's going to be so great that guy's going to want that.
The way I do if I was doing the Valkyrie, I do a 918-like program. Whoever got that, you get the first offer of the other one.
Yeah, because I think the stuff's going to be
your limited edition.
It's going to be so good. I think people are going to want that stuff.
I think they should. I think they should get into that. That'd be a great idea for Aston. I love that Aston's doing this. I love that they're taking over this segment because they're doing it right. If you want a gentleman's car, go buy the fucking most gorgeous, best-sounding one you can. And these guys are doing it with Mercedes technology. You have like the new screens
and the engines too.
The engines. That's what I'm saying. Engines. Oh, the 4.0. Yeah. I love that. I love progress and competition and all that stuff. And Aston's bringing it to the table, baby. And I like it. And I don't think that's a Vanquish. They said that they were going to make a DBS now. Remember?
Yeah.
Someone told us this. I can't remember who.
You're right. So it's not disguised as DB11. That's actually just an upgraded DBS.
I think that's the new DBS.
Yes, we did talk about that.
I can't remember who told us this, but I do remember having this conversation. They were like, no, the next Aston will be a DBS, and then the Vanquish was, right?
I remember that conversation now.
But either way, it's going to be along the same lines, and that's awesome that they're going with this. And the DBS would be the perfect one because in the DBS, the last one, that's what they tried doing, and the car fell short.
We need the DBS back.
I can't wait to see the DBS back. I can't wait to see what they do with the notes and tones of the car. When they're fully electric, what's Aston going to do?
Why are you going there already?
Because I feel like they're going to be like...
You know what? That's a good segue. So talking about electric cars, Brian Hammer 621 asked us what we thought about the BMW i5 concept and the X7 concept. He also asked us what we thought about the TVR Griffith, but we just covered that, and we're not going to do it again.
Unless
you guys want to talk about the Griffith some more.
No,
We're good. That's enough talk until 2019.
I think we got it. Yes, until the car comes out. Until we either get to drive it or the car comes out.
Or they start fiskering us.
Hey,
by the way, that's the new thing.
How much fiskering did you do last time?
Actually, I just passed out.
I'm sorry, Fargini.
So you did fisker her.
I didn't. I passed out.
That's what I'm saying.
She got fiskered.
I put in a call. I advertised something. They came to collect. And they couldn't.
Oh, man. I'm sorry, Fargini.
You fiskered her.
Good for you.
Can we start a new thing where we call something being fiskered?
When you promise something that is not real?
Yeah, fiskered.
I know we're going to be talking about it soon. Okay. But go on. I'm sorry. What was the question?
So he was asking
the i5 and the X
and the X7 concept.
So can we start with the X7?
Okay, let's start with the X7. I wanted to start with the i5, but we'll start with
the X7. Go with the i5.
Okay.
Tell us what it is.
No, so the i5 concept, we already have the i3, right?
Correct. I would say
that it has been a successful car for BMW.
Absolutely.
They've done a lot of sales. It looks completely different. Really like
because
it.
It's really cheap. By the way, you know, because they lease for like $250 a month.
You get a lot of car for that.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Is it doesn't look like it's $250 a month, especially when you get in the inside. It's very minimalist.
Yeah, it looks like it's $175 a month.
No, come on, Fargini. Giving BMW a hard time. They're actually pushing boundaries within their company with this car because it's something that isn't BMW, right? And I think it's going to be a direct competitor with Tesla. It's going to push.
Are you talking about the i5?
I'm talking about the i3 right now.
Okay.
The i3 is like the Model 3 for Tesla, right?
Kind of, yeah.
Model 3 is a little bit bigger.
I think if Tesla made a smaller car, that would be i3.
Yeah. But with the i3, the way that the minimalist design inside and how clean and sleek it is, that's what they're creating. But the i3 is too small for me. They try to pitch it as like, oh, you can fit your whole family here. No, I haven't driven it yet.
Should we go? You've driven it?
I really have.
Let's get the Portas.
I really have. Yes, I'll call Dave. you think you won't fit, dude? Evan?
Uh-huh.
You know how fucking tall Evan is.
Right.
Fits perfectly.
Really?
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is like,
this car is fucking, let's go drive one.
Let's get Laporta.
Okay.
Let's take him a bottle.
I think it's going to blow your mind because you can fit a lot, but not a lot of luggage, if you will. Or you can put luggage or not family.
Yep.
But it's really impressive. Like, really impressive. I'm actually on a serious note,
I've experienced the interior and stuff. It's really nice wood. Like, it is a nice, well put together.
It is.
And that's why I'm excited about the i5 concept, because it's a bigger version of it. And
it also makes sense. It's a gradual.
No,
everything has to go that route. Yeah. We might as well get into it now.
And the i5 will be the Model 3, I think, direct competitor.
Can I tell you something? This is where Mercedes is sleeping hard on their electrics.
Okay, I have a theory on this, but we can come back.
But on their electrics, I absolutely love that they're going electric. BMW, what they're doing with the i3, that was a very successful case. I don't think the hybrid technology went that great with the i8.
No.
It was very...
Because the problem is...
It was too compromised.
You're pitching this as too high performance of a car with a lackluster...
That's what I'm saying. You're here, like, compromised. Like, you're trying to please everyone.
Yep.
Fuck that. That didn't work. The i3 did. The i5 will. The X7, it's a whole different subject, but I like that they're getting into the electric market. Whereas Mercedes, what do we got?
Guys, there's nothing now but the EQ line, the sub-brand EQ. I think they're coming out. They're assaulting.
But they need to come out now.
I think it's coming out really, really soon, and they're going to assault the whole thing. And it's all planned out, like SUV, sedan, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, we were in Mexico. We saw the map out for the Mercedes line. Remember?
There's a bunch coming out. It may be a little late to the party, but it's going to take over the party.
I hope so, because honestly, this is one where BMW is ahead, and I didn't think about it until now.
Can I just one thing? They are ahead, but not too far ahead, because I just want to tell you, those i3s, they're not like monster battery, go 500 miles.
They're not because they offer the internal combustion range extender within that car.
Right.
But this is what I'm saying. That is better than any electric Mercedes that exists today.
100%. They're coming ahead.
Yeah. They're coming with the i5 that it's already like mapped out, whatever. Whereas Mercedes doesn't have like a clear, solid answer right now.
They haven't presented yet.
Right. Of course. But with the i5, we're going to see this at Frankfurt. We're going to see this at the Frankfurt Auto Show. But this car, they're already teasing that it's going to come out directly with level 3 autonomous driving. Like, and that's a big deal.
By the way, I don't know. Do we know what the levels are, by the way?
Level 3 is
the Model X right now is level 2.
Oh.
Yeah.
I hope there's a switch, because here's the thing. BMWs have switches for everything. Give me a level, like, I'm going to start with level 1 autonomous.
How about this?
I'll try you out.
How about this? Because what if level 3 of autonomous to BMW was like, it's the BMW owner experience. And the moment hold on, turns traction control off.
I misread it. It says level M3.
Oh, no. It's level. Oh, no.
Level M3 autonomous driving.
No.
No, I'm kidding.
I was like, what?
Very clever, right? Could you imagine level M3 autonomous driving?
I was like, honey, you confused that. Holy shit.
Level
M3. Oh, by the way, speaking of the i3, they came out with the i3S. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that.
Like a sport. Get the fuck out of here. Like, you don't need a sport model of your i3.
I like, and the X7. Okay.
Okay, yeah, the X7.
So this is the big SUV from BMW. This is a concept SUV still. What they're very proud about is all the technology that's inside of the concept car, which is supposed to be a 2019 model that comes out in 2018. So it's really close to production according to this.
Yeah.
Right? And it's going to be the 7-passenger SUV. So it competes with the Mercedes GLS.
GLS?
What's the Q7 or Q9?
There's a Q8 coming out. There is a Q8 coming out.
So whatever the hell the biggest one is, that's what they're competing against. And this is really good looking.
Can I tell you something? You want to know why it's so close to production, right?
Why?
Because
I've actually been thinking about this.
This is going to be our affordable Cullinan.
Yes. Wait, hold on. Are they sharing? They're not sharing chassis, are they?
Rolls.
Who can we ask?
Rolls. They said this was going to be a standalone platform, but they...
Should we call Danny
said,
right now?
They said it's a standalone platform, has nothing to do with the current Phantom, which was the old Phantom. And it has nothing to do with any X whatever from BMW. But I don't know if they grab this platform and they're pitching it like, it's our exclusive platform.
Let's call Danny.
We will be giving to BMW.
Let's call Danny on speaker.
You can't call Danny on speaker and ask him those questions. Yeah, he's going to get fired. Get the fuck out of here.
He might know.
No.
Someone knows. Anyone know?
Who works at Rolls Royce that can get fired online right now?
They're saying that it's more than likely going to be based on the 7 Series.
Okay.
So it's going to be the 7 Series platform.
Good.
This will not tolerate this.
But it said,
No. This is my Balboni line with Rolls Royce. I promise you.
But
guys.
That sentence is led with "though yet to be confirmed." So there's still a chance. There's still a chance.
How about this?
Me getting into that, I really like the X7 concept. I really do love that they went with a completely different interior. There's touchscreens. You can send music from the back to an address on the front and then just put it into the GPS. Like, it's really a technological masterpiece if it does come out and work like that.
And also, are these real renderings or is this BMW official, like the pictures of it?
I think so.
You think these are BMW official? I think I saw it on
Instagram. They say it's pictures.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, I saw it.
If that is what it really is, I am thrilled with what they did with the front grill. Like, this is the first time they kind of kept the kidney bean look.
Can you go like this?
But
I actually wanted to talk about the grill.
I think that it's like a combination of BMW's like classic kidney bean grill and a Rolls Royce grill.
Well, they have access to each other. So
I think that has 21 slats.
Okay.
That's it. You're done.
Guys. No. I know Rolls Royce is not going to do me like that. Are we going to replay this footage? Whenever they announce that they are and just play me saying, Rolls would never do this to me. Hang on. Let me give you the soundbite, Pedro. Nah, man. Come on. Rolls would never do that to me. They would never share the chassis with the X7. Here you go. That's your soundbite. Okay.
I just saved it.
Another way to look at this, though, would you be okay with this? If it is a standalone Rolls chassis, that gets trickled down to the X7. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? You want to be the only guy in LA with the
If you're
going to
charge
chassis?
Me $400,000 for a car,
okay?
That, like, come on.
You're like, you just want to keep the chassis to yourself?
Like, is Bugatti sharing their chassis with everyone?
No.
Exactly. I know that's super, like, way more expensive.
This guy really got a lot of layers.
I don't know why it hurts. It hurts so much.
Can't you just be happy for me and Farsha? This may be my first BMW.
By the way, can I tell you my concerns with the X7 or my thoughts
on it? Hang on. And we also have, like, the M3, the red M3. We're getting Parker's M3. It's a full-blown BMW show now.
We've transitioned very well.
Hey, fuck Mercedes. Not at all.
What a difference a day makes,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Here's my issues with the X7, and it's a public safety issue. You now have a BMW you could shove 7 people in, okay? Power, speed, all that stuff in a 7. You cram 7.
Like, you're ultimate
just,
driving
and
machine.
Now you could just, like, plow through anything without any, like...
No, that's not good.
Imagine an X7 leaving a car meet.
Can I tell you this? As long as they don't make an X7M.
Oh, that's actually a brilliant question.
How about that?
Will there be... Okay, here's the question. Hold on.
I think there will be. There's a GLS 63.
Hold on. Will there be an official MX7? Or is it going to be X7M?
The all-new X7M X-Drive. better by BMW. Oh,
I don't think it can be an MX7 because isn't that already like a Mazda car?
M7X. 7XM.
Yeah, MX7, yeah.
It's going to be 7XM.
No. Is it going to be a real M or is it going to be...
It'll be a real M.
7XM.
I don't know what
like,
the real
like
M is.
The 70s on 70 radio station on XM.
Oh, now I know why. By the way, now I know why they had to make a bigger SUV.
Why?
To fit all the names on the back.
Now he's getting to that point really, where it's so ridiculous.
It's like E-Drive, efficiency mode, XY.
I actually saw a car on the road this morning. I think it was an X5, and it was it was totally a faked badged M.
By the way, for all of those of you listening, we do have a channel for this alone where we do play B-roll and add all these inserts of things
that
we're talking about.
Is that a fake badged M or what?
Wait, it's a
3. Yeah, I mean, it's an M3. It's an M535.
And it also has a GT badge on it as well, on the far left.
I got to be honest with you. I don't know what BMW is badging.
It is the GT. It is the GT, but they don't have an M of the GT.
The badging just looks so fake. Even the GT badge looks fake.
And also, it's like misaligned.
Yeah.
It's really strange because that could be real. If that's real, that's fucked up. That's how you diluted your brand.
This is what I want to know. If it's not real, like, what does the guy get from putting that on there? What does that mean?
It's actually a woman driving, so I'm assuming that she was upsold on it.
And got ripped off.
That's what I'm thinking.
That's actually really fucked
up. Or that could be her husband's car. Or maybe she's a douchebag and she put the fucking M on it.
Or the wife said, sweetie, can I have an M car? He said, yeah, no problem. Wink, wink, wink. Bing, boom, bing. Hey, bing, bing, bing.
I went to school with a guy. I shit you not. Went to school with this guy, with a girl. She was so hot. And she was dating this fucking tool.
We get it. You dated hot girls.
No, I didn't. I did not. And this girl was going out with this tool who had a 328. Which was incredible, right?
of course.
He would, this is why I'm calling him a tool. Yeah. Guy must be the nicest dude ever. He had a 328. And then one day he shows up to pick her up in school again. Same color, same everything in a 330. And I was
wow,
this dude upgraded his car.
Quite an upgrade.
So fast. He must be doing really great. Good for him. Comes back the next day and I see it. I'm like, that looks funny. That doesn't. And I go and ask my friend, hey, what's up with your boyfriend's car? He really got a new car. He's like, yeah, of course. It's whatever. And I go, I actually think that's the same car. He just changed the badges. And she goes, that could be because I recognize a lot of things inside.
Oh my God.
Get the fuck out of it. So she got played. She got played by this guy.
You just gave me
but he did nail her.
That's a double win.
He got himself
a 330, upgraded to a 330 and nailed it. You just gave me a great idea. You ready for this? Interchangeable magnetic M and other badging for your BMW. So like you have a date. So you have a date tomorrow.
That is a great idea.
You have a date tomorrow, right? You're like, oh, I got to really impress her. I like M.
You know, there's a dude that does the emoji magnets. That dude can just create an M magnet and you can put it on anything, dude.
DM me. We'll do a whole series of different M stuff and we'll just pop, 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 pop. And pop them on.
I think you also need to be able to change like the interior.
No.
I'm telling you, this girl had no idea. She was sitting in the same car. She's like, oh, yeah. And the things that she recognized were like stains inside of the car.
Black light?
Like, I don't know. But like, the car had like the same stain or like the same little nick or whatever. God damn it. You know what my problem is? I give people too much credit. I think they're too smart.
You and I had this conversation.
And whenever people like really do shit like that and you're like, why am I not doing this?
Yeah.
Why am I not getting away with this shit? Because I give people way too much credit.
Wow.
All we got was a wow.
The conversation went down a crazy rabbit hole.
I don't know where we're at right now.
It immediately turned into how we can monetize doing magnets.
Doing M. Yeah.
Pedro, we're entrepreneurs. Come on. We got to find out
what we do.
So I want to hop into another question from Zero. Which, by the way, Zero is the number one all-time penis point collector on Salamanca.com.
Is he?
That sounds really bad. By the way,
his total is more than my total, and I upload the videos every day.
Jesus Christ. Okay, so here's the deal. If he keeps it for, I think next week, this week we're giving away to the top 10 people either a hat or a shirt. I can't remember what it is.
Oh.
And I'm giving, at the beginning of the month, whoever that person is, a big, big prize.
Okay, that's awesome.
Ooh. Yeah.
That's awesome. He has a substantial lead, by the way.
Yeah, of course.
And there's no way he'll fall
out
of
He's a beast.
He could go on sabbatical for the next 3 months. He'll probably stay in the top 10.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
He's doing well.
He's probably going to take this.
Yeah, so
happy for him. Yeah. He deserves it.
He was asking, what are your thoughts on Roman Atwood's Demolition Derby? Because we've seen a lot of messages saying, oh, you guys should do this.
Yeah.
What's going on with that?
So in my own defense here, I'm not interested in it just because I don't want to get into cars with people I don't know hitting each other.
What are you talking about? That sounds amazing.
Nope.
That sounds incredible.
You're a father. I have a baby squirrel.
He's got seven mouths to feed. How many animals?
I have like 39 animals here.
39 animals to feed.
But never going to happen.
I have a baby squirrel that I need to feed every morning.
How many people do you know that have died from a demolition derby?
I don't know. But
none. You don't know anyone.
No.
See?
Why do you want to do that?
Can I hit people outside of a car?
No. No.
No, it's grown-up bumper cars. Come on.
I'm not into that
at all. Do you think YouTube would ever let...
Also, by the way, he would never take us.
Yeah, he would.
It'd be
he would.
No, it's big channels only. Yeah. Get the fuck out of here. I'm dead serious. I'm not, like, interested at all whatsoever, just because I'm a pussy, if you will. That's the best way of putting it.
What if... I don't have any other scenarios. Yeah, I guess we're not doing it. I guess that's it.
That's it. There's a few things in life that I'm not interested in, and those, for the most part, are involved in, well, if it goes wrong, you could die.
That's it. Like that's Alejandro would rather drive his 140-mile-an-hour Pagani Huayra around a track that he's never driven on before rather than play grown-up bumper cars.
No, I would not. I would not. I don't know which one I'd rather have.
Another question that was on Salamanca.com was from Mr. EAA.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about some rumors about old BMWs going up in prices.
They are.
Really?
Yeah, dude. Like the M3, the E46, the one before that, the M5, all of those cars are of course going up in value, but the manual ones with the naturally aspirated engines, and especially the coupes.
Yeah, it's fascinating that I learned this stuff from Parker. Like,
yeah.
If you get the right combo, boop.
Yeah, it goes up. That's why VIX is worth so much more. Yeah. Than the M3s that we're looking at. Same year, same everything.
Which, by the way,
literally like double the price.
Yeah, which, by the way, we have our ear on the ground on every M3 in LA.
On every M3. Actually,
yes.
If you guys live in LA and are looking for an M3, we got you.
Pedro's absolutely right.
We know about every M3 that's available right now for sale, just so you guys know.
Salamandra.com, your source for BMW M3s.
E46 M3s.
We are those people now. We just said E46 M3.
Yeah, I know, code. Guys, if you're looking for an E46 SMG 3.2
M3, just holler at your boy.
No. With paint code Z427.
Like one of our biggest videos lately has been the most expensive M3 in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, it has. That thing blew up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't wait to get back and try that car again.
So here we are. BMW up.
We're in.
Hey, we're in.
Maybe that's why the numbers are going up.
That's why.
It's the BMWs.
It's the BMWs.
So let's hop into an old segment that we haven't done in a while, and it's called On the Verge of Depreciation.
Can I make a sound bit for it?
Please. Yeah.
On the Verge of Depreciation. Asian.
Asian?
Asian.
It sounds like you're saying Asian. Also, Asian. I think we have the technology to take your sound bite and echo it.
I don't know.
Yeah, he's even actually like trying to say it again, but he keeps saying Asian.
Yeah, you keep saying Asian.
No, it's not. It's not. It's a Mexican, guys. Wait, what were we talking about?
We're talking about what's on the verge of depreciation.
Oh, my God.
Number one.
I don't think I'm ready for this.
Number
Can
one.
We start with number two? Can we start with number two?
Hey, we always start our day with number two.
This is why I was late for the podcast today.
Lamborghini Aventador S.
The Lamborghini Aventador S barely just recently came out, and Roadster's already spotted.
Oh, that's right. They announced it. I saw a post.
It's already been announced. Announced.
They announced it. They were
the other one hasn't even hit the streets
yet. We haven't even delivered them in LA, but we're giving people the opportunity to pass on them so they can get the Roadster when it comes out. Incredible. Give yourself 2 fucking years, Lamborghini. 2 years.
Take some notes from McLaren.
2 years between the coupe and the Roadster, because in some countries, the fucking coupe isn't available. And believe it or not, it is the Mac effect. This is why Apple does not announce what their iPhone's going to look like a year before it comes out.
Yep.
Because people will wait and skip that. It's business 101. It's logic. That's what I like to call it. Or this wonderful thing called common sense. But hey, what do I know? I'm just a Mexican guy with an Italian accent.
So
I don't know. The Lamborghini, the Aventador S, he's already taking a hit, obviously, because of it. I mean, you've seen how many people are like, when you go and call a Lamborghini dealership and you want to get a Performante, what's the first thing they say? We don't have any, but hey, how about an Aventador S?
But maybe that's why they released the Roadster version, right? It's because they're having such a hard time moving the Aventador S.
No, because everyone knew they were going to do this. They're proving everyone right.
But maybe that's why they released it earlier.
I think the Aventador is a line that's going to struggle a little bit until it's redone right now.
Yeah.
I think so. I get the appeal, but the Huracan is such a fucking great car.
It really is. We were talking about that yesterday. The Aventador is just so big. It's
clunky. It's big.
It's more than what you need. Yeah.
Yeah.
It serves its purpose, though, for Instagram.
Yeah, he does.
YouTube.
As a former Aventador, two-time
YouTuber,
owner.
YouTuber.
Two-time owner. No, I was never a YouTuber when I had an Aventador.
Instagrammer.
Instagram. It's the grammar.
That's actually a great question.
I just got demoted.
What car would you begin your Instagram career
with? An Aventador. If I could, yeah. Because I mean, I had a bunch of cars. And it's not like I did it to grow my account. I was just taking pictures of, like, I was doing the same thing. When the Aventadors came in.
Take it easy. Take it easy. That's going to be our topic to open up next week's podcast.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
What would you start? Yeah.
What car would you start your Instagram account
with? Sounds good. Okay. I like that question.
So make sure on Salamandra.com you go ahead and post what you would start your Instagram account with.
I'll make a post.
Please.
And I will ask him that
But post. Can I add one thing to that?
Hit it.
It should be based on the car you can afford, the maximum car you can afford.
No.
You don't think so?
No. Just let him ask, because some people will say a McLaren F1. That's not true, because there are videos online, there are pictures of line of the McLaren F1, and he doesn't draw the likes.
I thought this was just,
you know what I'm saying? Guys, even the Carrera GT.
Guys, we can't go down this rabbit hole on this topic, because this is for next week.
okay, deal. We
have to be more like Shmi and plan.
okay,
come on, guys.
Hello.
No phones while on the podcast.
Please, again, for everyone listening.
Put it on vibrate, please.
He just put the brick phone to his ear.
Oh, that's right.
So I know that you're trying to avoid the bad news right here, but we're going to go back to number one. And
do we have to talk about this?
And on the verge of depreciation is the car that you still have not received.
The AMG GTR.
With a Panamera America grill.
That everyone can get. No problem. Now available at every place. Now, here's the deal, and this is why it's on the verge of depreciation. It took so long. There's like two or three members at Salamandra.com. This is not a plug for the website. There's two or three members there that literally have an order of the car coming in too. And they're like, I don't know if I want it anymore. And one of the guys was willing to dump it for sticker. He was just like, just take mine, dude. Take mine. Like, that's not good.
The novelty's wearing off.
No. It wore off a year ago. Okay. When it was a year old already.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
Yeah, they messed this one up.
By the way, speaking of...
I am honestly now thinking, why even get it?
You know what?
I'm really now at this point right now. I'll tell you why.
For your Instagram and YouTube.
I don't think so.
I'm good. I've been very excited for that car for a long time, and I know you have, because this is a very, very special car, and at least they sold it that way, and it's a very special car, because when they announced it, when they released it, the production that they did on the actual car, they hit it out of the park.
They did.
They did, and they kept that momentum for a long time.
2 years.
And then now it's finally worn off, and it worn off in such a terrible way where everything that made this car special is in every other car.
Well, yeah, it's already trickled
down. That has already landed in the States.
So now what exactly? So now what?
But honestly, though, the car, like you said, the car did what it was supposed to do for a media and attention kind of way.
But now they're kind of leaving the owners. But it screwed the owners of the AMG.
But
GTR.
I'm telling you, everyone online is dumping their. Or they're like, who wants it?
But not.
And I don't hear a lot of people going me.
Yeah.
And it's not about like making money or not making money on a car. It's about the point, like. We're all on the same page here.
Yep.
And like, it's been so long. Yeah.
And it's not just the grill, which is the bad thing. It's also that time that they've waited. And then also the new release of a Black Series coming out.
Yeah.
Well, you see the new car they're Lamborghini-ing themselves right now with this. They're Aventador-essing themselves,
yeah.
Right? They hang on. What was the
they're Fiskering themselves. They're
they just Fiskered all of us. They just Fiskered all of us.
But that's because they're over-delivering. Well, I mean, I guess they didn't deliver.
No, yeah, they haven't delivered for shit.
You're
they
right.
Fiskered us. Yeah, they said, oh, this car's going to be the most wonderful car. The quickest car when it comes out. And even the lie about it, it's going to come out. How long have I had that fucking Top Gear magazine with the green car on top of it? Forever.
Also, the other thing is,
forever.
As the stuff from the GTR is trickling down to the regular ones, the horsepower difference is not going to be that great. You know what I mean? Like, it's just... Because every year, the horsepower on the regular ones has to go up. You're now approaching...
Now I'm wondering, because it would be based on this. I'd go grab the car the day they call me that it's available, if that ever happens. Because at this point, you're wondering, like, will it? Are they going to, like, maybe scratch it and be like, hey, guys, listen, we're just going to give you a convertible. It's going to be gorgeous. Don't worry.
You're
it's
in LA. The weather's great.
10,000 off sticker. No problem. Don't worry about it. You're welcome. You're welcome. That's what I feel like it's going to come down to. But either way, if they deliver the car, it's just, I'm going to drive it. And if it really feels completely different from an AMG GTS, I'll buy it.
Should we?
And if it just feels like an AMG GTS,
Would you do it back to back? Would you do it back to back? Like, we'll drive a GTS, drive your GTR?
It'd be a requirement.
We'd have to.
Yeah.
It'd have to.
It'd be a requirement.
And it'd have to be that new GTS that has the same...
Of course.
Which they already have at Mercedes-Benz of Beverly Hills.
Oh, yeah, they do. It's gorgeous. It's fucking gorgeous. Is. Why spend the extra $80,000 then?
Yeah. So I want to touch on one more topic before we get into Farshad's segment. And it's a new 911R for everyone. And what we're finding out is that Porsche is hinting at a future purist model like the 911R.
Wait, hold on.
For true enthusiasts.
Hold on. Is this a more pure? Is this a more R?
Can't, no, you can't do it. You can do a more R.
I'm confused. No. So it's less R or more R?
So here's the problem. People are misquoting whatever's going on right now. And everyone immediately, this is what, tell me if this is not in your mind. 911Rs are completely fucked.
No, my whole thing is like, how much more pure?
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Immediately, right?
Yep.
All right, first of all, there's no plan for this car to be out in the next 2 years.
Okay.
Just so we're completely fucking aware of this.
Okay.
By the time that car comes out, if you follow the timeline of the old cars, that car won't be a production car. The car they're talking about, if any, should be the 4.0 version of the current version of the car.
Right.
That's the only way to do a pure, like a purist type of 911R.
But,
and they're not going to make that commercially available for everyone. The car that everyone's saying they're going to make, it's a 911R that anyone can buy, even though every single turbo, every
what
single
does that even mean?
The thing is, every single fucking car now has a turbo in it.
Yeah.
Except the GT family, and the GT3 already has a manual.
Yeah.
What more do you fucking... Okay, so now you're going to get a turbocharged engine with a manual?
You're going to get a four-cylinder now, the pure.
Get out of here. Get out of here. Get the fuck out of here. Honestly, and everyone, what is this obsession with the 911R? And it's all... You know what it is? It's like... When someone couldn't get something and they just get upset at it, like me with the Ford GT, yeah. Apparently, they're like, fuck that. It should depreciate. Like, fuck that shit. You won't understand what a 911R is. You won't until you drive one.
Yeah.
Period. There's no video that can explain to you how different it is from everything else. Even from the new GT3, it's not the same thing. Until you drive and you experience it, you won't understand it. So this is like beating a dead horse. Over and over and over again. It won't be the same. It's not the same thing. This is not a collectible item. And also, they only made 991 of these. They're done.
Yeah, it's not going to hurt the 911R. They're going to...
This is the fantasy that everyone has because they can't get one.
But that's why they leak it this way, is to create that buzz. Is to make people say, oh, is it going to hurt the 911R? Oh, are we getting more 911? No, that's not what's going to happen.
They said the GT3 was going to hurt it. 911R is still fucking expensive as shit right now.
They're going to put more of a driver experience into the Boxster and the Cayman. Like they're going to tweak the 718 line. That's all they're going to do. They're not going to get into the 911R.
I think they're just going to keep cars with a manual.
Yeah.
And give you like a sport version with a manual.
Yeah. But
I don't know why everything turns into commercial now.
Those versions are going to only be available in Europe.
Oh, Jesus.
I mean,
maybe the AMG GTR is only available in Europe.
Well, I mean, it is right now.
Well, technically it is. They're the only ones enjoying it.
All right. So let's hop into Farghini's.
Okay. Here we go.
Good news, bad
news.
They're
short but quick today.
With Farghini.
It's quality over quantity today.
Yeah, sure.
So you did figure out how to short it.
There you go. Hey.
I did.
Well played, sir.
My first successful short. Okay. Bugatti. Some Bugatti news. The Bugatti Chiron.
Is that the good news?
That's the good news. The Bugatti Chiron does 0 to 249 miles per hour in 32.6 seconds.
That is fucking great news.
That's fast,
incredible.
Right?
Yeah.
The bad news. Depreciation is still significantly faster.
It is. I'm a witness and a testament to that. Yes. I'm waiting till the $2 million drop. Once they get to $2
million,
I'm in. Okay. I'm in.
By the way, why does this
It'll be in a year from the couple of releases. Oh. By 2019, January 2019,
we're in a
that's
Chiron.
What I'm predicting.
We're in a
$2 million Chiron. Yeah.
By the way,
I'm ready.
Why can't it just be 250 miles an hour?
It's 400 kilometers
400
an hour.
Kilos.
So 400 kilometers.
Kilometers.
Yeah. Yeah.
So why can't they do like 400 and something something?
Because kilometers is really what everyone uses.
Oh, God.
The US.
That's the biggest. That's the, yeah, oh, God. You, I got it. Understood.
Okay. I don't know why we use gallons here and yards when the metric system is so much better and easier.
Some Tesla news.
Okay.
So the Tesla Model S now handles much better because they have three electric motors.
What?
Now they have three electric motors.
Wow.
Okay. The bad news. You will now hear this.
I feel like Marghini has never been in an electric car.
The more, listen, just so we're clear, the bigger and more badder these batteries are, the more.
There will be. He actually woke up this morning trying to figure out how can I make some electrical.
I know, he really did. He researched Tesla for like 7 hours.
If I had your grumbly voice with a zzz, that'd be the high performance version. Like, no, too much.
Thank you. I'm glad we got into this.
Okay. Some Honda news. Honda celebrates 25 years of the Type R.
That is great news.
A legendary, wow. Legendary brand. The bad news. We're still waiting for VTEC to kick in. When is this fucking VTEC going to kick in? Do you remember everyone's like, wait till VTEC kicks in?
It's just a laggy system. it's just very like, laggy.
After 25 years, I'm literally still waiting
for your VTEC to kick in.
Shit. And still, again, I just want to say, still no one knows what VTEC is. No one can explain VTEC.
It's just the VTEC.
Guys, go on salamandra.com. Explain to us what VTEC is.
It's a technology of V.
Isn't that one of those cordless phones? Didn't they have the VTEC cordless phone?
They did.
VTEC phone?
By the way, in Mexico, that was like a really big thing. So when VTEC got introduced to me and I heard about like it being in a car, I was like, is it related to the phone? This is hitting like really close to home right now. I really didn't know if it was like a phone integration, like what it was. Yeah.
VTEC. Okay. And the last one, Chevy Volt news.
Oh, good. Okay. Good Chevy Volt news.
Chevy Volt has 400,000 miles with no noticeable battery degradation.
Wow. That is good news.
Bad news. Someone actually had to drive a Chevy Volt for 400,000.
That is fucking horrible fucking news for miles. That person.
Can you fucking?
Oh no!
By the way, I saw today on the video that we released that that we had some Chevy fanboys going in hard on the latest ad.
Oh!
Come on, it's the fucking Sonic. Get the fuck out of here!
Oh my god! You know what? You know when a little kid calls you a booger face?
yeah.
You're like, fuck you. You wish you could tell the kid how stupid he is, but you're like, he's just a kid.
By the way, when I first saw that.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's kind of like that. Like,
booger face.
Yeah. By the way, that's pretty much how I see most insults online. Yeah. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry. I wish I was more trollable.
When I first saw the footage, the B-roll that Ivan used for, I was like, that's a high-tech like ad for a fucking Sonic. It's like robotic.
All
like,
putting together. The most exciting thing about the Sonic by Chevy is the ad that I put together.
How about that?
Is that fair enough?
That's great.
And Ivan's killing it with the B-roll.
He is.
Matching the B-roll to your ad.
Yeah. Oh, so good.
All right,
That's it for the good news, bad news. That's it for the podcast. Let's close it out because I got a golf tournament to go.
Oh. Yo, guys, let's get Pedro out of here.
Let's go.
Marghini, Pedro, Alejandro over here. We do not approve this message, and we'll see you guys later. Thank you very much for watching, people. See ya.